Well, good morning, family.
Good morning.
So good to see everyone. During prayer this morning, we were all just kind of really focusing on what we don't see, and that is the kingdom of God that's invisible to us. We feel it, we sense it in our hearts. But you know, sometimes when we live life, it's hard to see and really experience the kingdom of God because we're letting the circumstances and the winds of life blow on us and we lose focus. And so I wanted us today to refocus our attention today on the Lord. That's why we gather, hopefully, yes, to be with each other, but mainly to be with God, to spend time in His presence, to spend time in a congregational atmosphere. We can be with God at home alone, but when we have an opportunity to be with Him together, there's something supernatural that takes place. I believe we're changed, we're transformed more into His image. So Lord, right now we choose to focus on You. We set aside, Lord, the distractions of life. We set aside, Lord, our problems, as big as they may be or as small as they may be. We set aside, Lord, our own agendas, our own desire, Lord, for what would happen even in this service. And we choose to set our eyes on You, Lord. We set our gaze on You, Lord. Lord, we know that in Your presence is fullness of joy. So, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that we would just be able to see that we're in Your presence by faith. Experience, Lord, the angelic hosts that are around us right now in heaven, Lord, as we're seated there in heavenly places. Cause our hearts to be drawn deeper into who You are today. Cause our understanding to grasp in a more true way with our hearts, Lord, who You are and what You're doing, Lord, in our lives and in the world at this time. We hear so many reports of so many different things all the time, Lord. We choose to focus on You. We choose to draw near to You, Lord. And we know that Your word says as we draw near to You, You're going to draw near to us. So we just let You draw near to us right now, Lord. We give You entrance into our hearts. We give You entrance into our lives. We give You entrance, Lord, to every aspect of who we are right now. Examine us, Lord. See if there's anything crooked in us. See if there's anything, Lord, that You want to change, Lord, during this day to make us more like You. We give You permission, Lord. We give You opportunity right now, God, to do above and beyond all we could even ask or think in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together, church.
You know.
feel impressed this morning that we need to start off by surrendering. I tell this funny story about when I first started coming to church, and you guys have probably heard it, but I used to come into church with my girlfriend. She was flirting to convert, and it worked. Come and I'd sit in the back with her, right back there, like probably two rows back. We used to have the chairs set up different. And I would see these people worshiping, and I'd be like, this is so weird. What are they doing? And after a few Sundays, I felt like, I want to lift my hand, but I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know, even though everybody was doing it, I didn't know how to do it. I was like, everybody's going to look at me. So I got this idea. I think it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but I don't know. And I said, I'm going to hold my girlfriend's hand, and then we're going to lift our hands together. And so here we are in the back. If I was worried about looking weird, I definitely looked weird now. And so I grab my girlfriend's hand, and then I just, and we're just there in the back. We're just doing this, right? And we stayed there for a long time. And I don't know what she was thinking, but I didn't care because I was like, I'm doing it. I'm worshiping, right? My point being is I just feel like God wants us to surrender this morning. So if you will, if we just lift our hands to heaven right now as a sign of surrender. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And today we just surrender our hearts. We surrender our hearts, God. Even though we might have done that years ago, we might have been to the altar and done all this stuff, we surrender our hearts to you, Father. Whatever you want to do this morning, whatever you want to do today, God, I just pray right now that you would begin speaking, Lord, to your children today. Right now, before we even get started, God, Lord, we don't need, Lord, a worship set to get us all stirred up before you start speaking to us. I just declare right now, you're speaking to your sons and your daughters right now. You're speaking identity to them, questions that they have, questions that they've been asking you, asking themselves, Lord. You're bringing clarity over their lives.
Lord, we surrender our voices and we surrender our bodies, Lord, and we surrender everything that we walked in this place with to you today, Lord. We will drop the baggage at the door. We'll drop the shame at the door. We'll drop the stress at the door because it doesn't belong here, Lord. We're surrendering it and letting you have it and filling us with your peace and your grace and your word.
Morning.
burning out the night till heaven's open. We
So I want us all as a church to sing. So here I am to worship without music. Just lift our hands, lift our hearts, and lift our voices. Eric will start us out, but then we'll end up without music because God wants our voices lifted in worship to Him. He wants our hearts lifted in worship to Him. He wants our hands and our bodies lifted in worship to Him.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
So here I am.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And I'll never
Strong here on declarations, so just want you to do something by faith with me. Just put your hand on your heart. You can say it or you can sing it. You are my God. You are my God. You are my God. Yes, Lord. You are my God. Believe it. You are my God, and you'll watch over me. You are my God. You see me while I sleep. You are my God. We believe that today, Lord. No matter what our life circumstances look like, no matter what the enemy has tried to do in our lives to steal, kill, and destroy, you are God. You are my God. You are our God. And we know that what the enemy has meant for evil, you are going to make good in our lives because you are my God. You are our God. That you will have the last word. That you will have the finish. You will do the end to our lives, Lord, and it will be glorious because you are working in and through us, Lord, for your good pleasure. You are my God. You are our God. We declare that today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy. The Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Hallelujah. Great job, Vicky, singing that solo opening. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. That's stepping out in faith. Why don't you stand up and greet someone for a little bit? Welcome, everyone, to One Life Family Worship.
Check, check, check. All right. Good morning, everybody. If you find your seat for me, that would be great. Do I have any happy people this Sunday morning in church? A few of us? Awesome. So we're going to start the day by doing our declaration. We will be have a different variation of declarations here soon, but for now we're going to keep this one. And for anybody who doesn't know, this is our declaration we make over the city of Yakima every Sunday. We believe that that Yakima is blessed and will continue to be blessed, and that we won't let the news build the narrative of what our city is. And so we as the church have a mandate, and since our church is here in Yakima, we're going to continue believing that God is doing something great in our city, amen? And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to make this declaration as a family, and so on the count of three, we'll do this in cadence. Let's say it loud, let's say it with faith, and declare this. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just declare over our city again and again that Yakima will be saved, Lord, that we will see a thriving city, God. We will see a city that's not ran and identified by drugs and by gangs and by homeless population. No, Lord, but that you, Lord, you would make your mark in our city. And I thank you, Jesus, that we get to be a part of the change in our city. We get to be the light of heaven in our city. And I just declare that and release that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, first slide, buddy. So we are doing something different. Over the summer, we did prayer here at the church, and backyard worship. Sorry, change it. And then that's right. And so years ago, we used to do something really fun where we'd go into people's homes and we'd pray. And we were talking as a staff, and we want to get back to that. And so it's not hosted by Herman and Miriam this time. So that's an edit. So stand by. We will text everybody, let you know where it is going to be. But it is the 15th from 6 to 7:30. It's going to be in somebody's home. And this is just a night of worship and prayer. This is another edition. I don't know if you guys know this, but when you get intentional with God, God gets intentional with you. Okay? Like, I just feel in my heart to say that. And I don't ever want us to be a church where you feel pressured to do something just to do it. I'll say this, if you don't feel like coming to Sunday, or you're just feeling like you're doing it to check off a box, I would encourage you, stay home and meet Jesus at home, okay? I know that might sound counterculture to church culture, but I would rather you meet Jesus at home than come here and stay the same, okay? So these nights, they're not just something for you. Oh, my church is doing another thing. Okay, I'm going to go. No, but if you be intentional with God and come with intention, come with expectation to a Sunday morning, to a Saturday night prayer, where you say, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice a Saturday night, even though I've worked all week and I'm tired and I've been going, taking my kids to football practice and football games and taking my kids to school and all this thing, and I'm exhausted. But I'm going to sacrifice one Saturday from 6 to 7:30 to just worship a little bit more with my family, even though I'm going to see them tomorrow morning. But wouldn't it be crazy if we just spent just a little bit more time together? Wouldn't it be just crazy? So that's my little little rant. But put it in your calendar, nonetheless, October 15th. And like I said, we will let you guys know via text and whatnot where it is specifically. That's this Saturday. Yeah, so we'll know soon. Okay? Next slide. We're doing our chili cook-off. Now, when's the last year we've done the chili cook-off? I mean, there's a trophy that has a year on it. Are you the last winner? Who's the last winner? Do we remember? Yeah, I think somebody's on there a lot. I don't remember. Okay, so this is something, again, that we're bringing back. We used to do. It's fun. This is just a fun event. This is something that we want you guys to come to, but also invite your friends and family. I'm putting fillers out there. I'm going to invite a lot of people, everybody. And we're going to, if you want to make a chili, this is what this is, right?
Yeah.
So
make a chili or bring it.
We have two different lists here. At the bottom, we have if you want to enter your chili. Okay, now don't go to Safeway and give us no canned chili. No, I want your best recipe, your grandma's recipe from 100 years ago, chili, okay? And enter your chili. You put your name, chili cook-off contestant. Okay, anyways, I'm very confused by that, but that's okay. Yeah, yeah. Anyways, and then your number. And then if you want to bring a dessert or salad, sign up here, and we'll be passing this out. So it's October 30th at the end of the month. And again, this is a great time. I remember years ago, these were so fun. And so just a great time to connect, you know, and eat some chili and be really gassy afterwards. Too soon? Should I not have been there? Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, moving on. Let's move on because... So I'm going to pass this here and then, yeah, we'll go back like that. So, next month, the first Saturday of the month, the women of the church are getting together for a women's luncheon, November 5th from noon to 2, right here in the overflow. This is going to be a time of connecting. My wife, Nancy, is going to be bringing a word. And so again, women, put this in your calendar and bring somebody from work, bring a family member. And yeah, let's just connect as women, right? Let's not, because I'm not invited, but that's okay. And then the last thing is thank you guys for giving. Thank you for sowing into the house. You can give right here in this box, or we have a box in the back out there in the hallway, or you can give online. And we just appreciate everybody who gives and sows into the house of God. Amen. So I'm going to invite our pastors up. Will you guys give a round of applause for Pastor Mike and Gaylene?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. So we have been communicating to you from a scripture that, as I said, the Lord gave to me several weeks ago. And it has been enlightening to me. I don't know if it has to you, or to you, of the depths of what just a few words in the Bible can mean when you allow the Lord to work in your heart. Hang in just a second. I don't have my my deal up yet. Because you're just seeing.
So while you're finding your way,
thank you,
honey.
Finding my way, that's a good way to put it.
I just want to say during worship this morning, as we were singing about a firm foundation, I got a sense that there were two kinds of people singing this song. One of the people were like, oh, I got this. Like, I got life. I'm in control. I'm good. So your foundation really is you. And then I get the sense of the other person, people, that you have forgotten what it felt like to have a firm foundation, that the memory of that firm foundation is far gone. And God just wants you to know, plant your feet on Him. Just plant your feet on Him. Life may be totally messed up, but He is not. So plant your feet on Him.
That's good. Yeah, it's a great... great thing to remember that we don't have to have our feet planted on sinking sand, but that we have the rock of Christ to be our foundation. 2 Corinthians 13:14 is what we've been going over. What happened was that I was reading through my normal Bible reading, and the Lord really put this verse on my heart. And the reason he put it on my heart is because of the dynamics that I read in it. And let's go ahead and take a look at what those dynamics are. Starting with the ESV. Go ahead, babe.
2 Corinthians 3:14 or 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Now, what I picked up from this was that Paul was communicating his second letter to the Corinthians. And if anybody knows the letter to Corinthians, he goes through all kinds of stuff. He goes through things that they did wrong, things that they did right. He goes through, you know, how to have proper love in your life. You know, how to have the full ministry of the gifts of the Spirit working in your life. The call of, you know, the fivefold ministry, all of those different things are in there. And at the end, he communicates this truth to them as a benediction. He's praying over them, so to speak. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, the last previous 2 weeks, we went over the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to go over that again, but if you go on YouTube, you can see those. I think you can also see on my Facebook. YouTube's probably the easiest. But what we understood from that is that this great gift of grace, because it is a gift of grace, was given to us so that we could be taken from a state of where we're basically, you know, something that we don't even you know, can't even appreciate ourselves most of the time, because we're so low, we're in a state of our world is collapsing most of the time. And he takes us from that state and lifts us up into heavenly places. He takes us from nothing to being his child, his son, his daughter. And that it's a free gift. None of us can earn it. And then today I want to go over the love of God. But first we're going to ask the question, just basically, what is love? But let's read these other three verses. Go ahead.
The versions of the same thing.
The NIV.
2 Corinthians 13:14 in the NIV revision. May the grace shown by the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that God has given us and the sharing of the life brought about by the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And then two more translations.
New King James Version. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And then this is the Amplified. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it.
Amen. So be it. So what we have here is we have this communication from Paul about what he wants to see in their life. He doesn't want them to just, you know, read these two letters and then just say, oh, well, that was good information. He wants them to take that information. He wants to take what they've learned from him when he's come and preached to them, shared his life with them, spent many, many, many days with them, gave of himself to them. And he wants them now to apply what those things were that he taught them. And one of them was the grace of the Lord. The other one was to have the love of God. And the other one was to have a fellowship, a communion, a friendship, a partnership with the Holy Spirit. So today I want us to ask, we're going to look at the love part of the love of God. And we're going to ask the question, what is love? What is love? I mean, we all have our own definition of love. I mean, I'm sure if I went around here and say, what is love to you? We would all have different definitions. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in the Bible, most of the time when we see the word love, we read that type of definition in that place. So sometimes when we even see God is love, we put what that love is that we think is love. And we miss out on the true nature of God's love, because his love is not earthly. His love is not natural. His love is supernatural. His love goes beyond our own understanding. I mean, to say that God is love and God loves us, sometimes we can't really capture that in our heart. You felt the peace of God, the comfort of God, as we were just saying, you are my God. Just confessing that. It's almost like because of that declaration we're making, he affirms it mm-hmm. by the Holy Spirit being more sensitive in our heart. And so to understand the love of God, or to understand love, is to understand God in a way. So let's go ahead and take a look at a few things here. I'm making sure that this is all in order. I said I'm just making sure it's all in order. Yep, that's... looking for something.
You're talking to yourself.
I know, because there's things...
So is it this one?
There's things missing, yes. So you might just have to read them.
Love is an act...
So let me explain these. These are... You don't have these. I don't know where they went, but... these are some quotes that I found from different authors, different people who have been great teachers throughout the years. Do you see them?
Mm-mm.
Nope, they're not there.
Okay.
Yep, and go ahead. So, and you just read it.
Is it Jean?
Vanier, I think.
Vanier. Love is an act of endless forgiveness. Wow.
Yeah, love is an act of endless forgiveness. So this is kind of like the love is idea. Love is an act of endless forgiveness. In other words, love is something that we give even when people don't deserve it. Love is something that we give when others have done things to us, because it's an act of forgiveness. If you think of God's love, what is the ultimate thing that he shows his love with? Jesus on the cross, the very act of the state of forgiving us, of taking our sins and then allowing us to be forgiven of everything that we will do, past, present, and future. Right. Go ahead, read the next one.
Love is the doorway through which the human soul passes from selfishness to service.
I like that. Love
That's Jack Hyles.
Yeah, love is the process that we go through to change from where it's about us in our soul to where it's about others.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the true sign of maturity in a Christian is when you start thinking of others. I think that's the greatest sign of maturity. I've seen people who can preach good and do all kinds of stuff. They look great on the outside, but they're still very self-centered. They're not very mature.
They're stuck on self.
They may be gifted, but that's not maturity. Maturity is to be a son of God, a child of God. And if we're to be like Christ, he's the ultimate in putting people before himself. He's the ultimate preferer, I like to say. Go ahead with the next one.
Where love is, God is. Henry Drummond.
Where love is, God is. Some people say, well, you know, not all love. Well, I truly believe that when you see a mother adoring and loving her child, that comes from God. That pure love, that unadulterated love, that sacrificial love, that's from God. Well, people say, well, but they don't know God. Well, they have a connection with him because they're receiving his love. They're showing it through that heart that they have for their child. That's definitely not the work of the enemy. Go ahead.
It's when we say that you have all of God that you need already within you. It's just not activated yet. You have everything. I mean, God cannot give you any more than he's already given.
If you received him in your life and you're living for him, he's giving you everything you need in the Holy Spirit.
Everything that you need. But it's activating that in your life. That is where the act of endless love comes in. That's where forgiveness comes in. That's where all of these service things come in, is when they start manifesting in your life over the selfishness.
Right. And next week we'll talk about truly the love of God. And that's really where we get to be like that. So once we realize that we're loved unconditionally, then we can love others unconditionally. That means if they do something to us, that means if we've done something that others that we can be ready to change and ask for forgiveness and be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Go ahead and read the other three. I think there are.
Right here. I already got it.
Oh, you got them. Okay.
Never procrastinate in showing love. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Do it now. That's Rick Warren.
That's good. Go ahead and read the next one. These are
the
kind of
world
more like...
does not understand theology or dogma, but it understands love and sympathy. That's Dwight L. Moody.
Yeah, you've heard of Moody Bible Institute? That's one of his quotes. So basically, the world doesn't understand all of our doctrines. They don't understand all of our procedures or whatever you want to call it, Christianese. What they understand is love. What they understand is compassion. What they understand is true care. That is truly the definition of love.
Yeah. And then the last one is those in the circle of Christ had no doubt of his love. Those in our circle should have no doubt of ours.
So in other words, when we're really in a relationship with Christ, we know God's love. And when people are in relationship with us, guess what? They should know God's love through us. That's Max Licato. He's always got great stuff. Mm-hmm. I wish these were up there. They're not. I don't know what happened,
Maybe
Eric.
God wants it for next week.
No, I'm go ahead and read them now. You can read them now.
Okay. Are these checkpoints?
No, they're not checkpoints. Those are like bullet points, but they look like check off. But you can check them off if you want
Living
to.
Living our values every day.
So you know what this is? This is an acronym for love.
Oh, L-O-V. Oh, got it.
Yeah, you would see it if it was up on the screen easier. But
L-O-V.
What my heart wanted to do was give you guys some ideas of an acronyms for love. Because it helps us kind of anchor them to our hearts. You know, like we learned about grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, right? It kind of helps you anchor that thought. So living our values every day. And
love.
Our values as Christians, who should they be? They should be God's values every day. Okay?
The next one is life's only valid expression.
Come on, now that one's good.
That's really good.
Life's only valid expression. It's truly in life, it is the ultimate. And as we will look at the scripture, it is really the end all. If we do anything outside of love, it really is not worth anything. It has no value. You're saying, what? Pastor, you mean when I work 40 hours for my boss, it has no value? Well, it probably has value to give you some income for your house. But we're talking about true value. And what is true value? What carries over into eternity. What carries over into eternity. So if you're working for your boss with an attitude of love, that you want to see him blessed, that when you know he's turning his head, or that you know, or you know, the cat has gone away, the mice don't play, you serve him like you serve Christ, yeah, that is love, and that will reap eternal benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read another one.
Let our values endure.
That's kind of different. Yeah, let our values endure. In other words, what we believe. From this aspect, let them continue to go no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. Read another one.
Live openly, valuing everyone.
So living openly, what does that mean? Open your heart. You know, to truly love, you have to be vulnerable. To truly love, you have to be potentially hurt. You really do. Because love does not come from a closed vessel. It does not happen.
Really,
love only flows from an open vessel. And open vessels get hurt. But open vessels also get refilled.
Right.
So if we can take the hurt, God will refill us to the place that the hurt is healed.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Listen, observe, value, and embrace.
So these are like, to truly love people, you need to hear their hearts, right? You need to hear what's going on in their lives. Not just listen to the words and then wait what you want to say. Listen, hear their heart. Observe, see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Value people.
Yeah.
And then what? Embrace.
Embrace.
Yeah, those are good. I wish you guys could have seen them. I'll try to get these to you.
Okay.
I don't know what happened. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're blank on his screen, but they're not blank on mine.
Yeah, I'm glad I sent them to you. Okay, this one you guys can see. These are really the biblical words that are translated in our Bible for love. Now, there are offshoots of both of these, but how many have heard of agape? Agape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever heard of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life? That word love is agape. So when we look at this love, that is affection, benevolence, specifically a love feast, a feast of charity, dearly, or love. And so what it means is it's a love that is not based on any kind of performance. or based on any kind of earning. It's not based on somebody else's way that they treat you. If people mistreat you, you still, if you're agapeing them, you still love them. If they've hurt you, you still love them. Now, this is hard. I don't know how God does it. I don't know how God takes people who are shaking their fist at him, cussing them out, saying, I want nothing to do with you. And yet he's looking at them with love because he sees their brokenness. He sees the wound. He sees the damage that they've suffered in life, and he wants to bring them to himself. He doesn't want to just reject them and kick them down the street. He says, no, I don't want you to perish. I want you to come to full repentance. Change your heart, change your mind, and you will be transformed. That's agape love. Unearned grace and favor and mercy. In the Old Testament, the word grace and mercy sometimes would have been translated as loving kindness in some translations, mm-hmm. because it's love showing kindness by action. So agape is an action word. Here's another one, phileo.
It's very hard to have that kind of love when it's not reciprocated. So when you feel that you need reciprocation, you have to ask where your love is coming from. Is it really coming from a place of agape, or is it coming from a place of, I give you this, you give back to me? And I grew up in that kind of love. And my mom grew up in that kind of love, where it was an earned love. And so I had a very hard time after coming to the Lord, and I am nowhere near perfect at it, but I'm trying very hard to learn this kind of love and to emote this kind of love. And it's a lot of standing on, like I was talking, that foundation of it not being my foundation, but it being his foundation, and coming from that place of love. Because I lived a life of, I give you, you give me. And that's a very unrewarding existence. And that's not God, because he gives unconditionally.
And it's very limiting
existence. This kind of love that I'm talking about, my...
Yeah, where you're saying, yes, I give to you if you give to me. It's very limiting because you're only going to be able to receive so much.
Right.
Because you can only give so much. And so if we're limiting on how much love we give out by based how much love we get in from other people, mm-hmm. boy, we're going to be in a world of hurt. We're going to be sad people. We're going to be mm-hmm. frustrated people. We're going to be unfulfilled people. Mm-hmm. That's why our source for that love that you're talking about has to come from God. That's why God says, you can love me because I first loved you. I don't want to get ahead into next week's message, but truly, we love because he loves us. But we can't know that he loves us until we truly believe what he said is true. In other words, that we're forgiven, mm-hmm. that everything we do, past, present, and future, is covered in the blood, and that he loves us even through all of those situations, so we can always receive that love. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Amen. All right. So here's a biblical definition of love. You guys probably have seen this before.
We didn't go over this.
Oh, phileo. We didn't know. I thought we did.
No.
Nope. Okay. Phileo, really quickly. It's friendship love. And a lot of times in the Bible, you'll see brotherly love or brotherly kindness. But that word, a lot of times that we see, like you can see it in John chapter 21, the very, very end when Peter is being spoken to by Jesus. Jesus saying, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter goes, Lord, you know I phileo you. So Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter responds, Lord, you know I love you like a friend. Wow. And then Jesus goes again, no, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter goes, Lord, you know I phileo you. I love you like a friend. In other words, I don't think I can go that far. Then finally Jesus says, well, Peter, do you phileo me truly? And he goes, yeah, I phileo you. So basically, he's saying,
no, agape me.
No, he never said agape.
Oh.
Jesus came down to his level. You know, Jesus will always do that. If we can't come up to his level, he'll come down to ours. Finally said, Peter, do you love me as a friend? Yes, Lord, you know I love you as a friend. Which is hard to believe. You would think, poor Peter. Well, keep in mind, Peter had just denied him three times. So we know that this is a restoration for Peter to deny him three times because he asked him three times. But he's trying to bring him to his level. Do you agape me, Peter?
And he just didn't get it.
Well, he probably couldn't say that. Those are powerful words.
Yeah,
I unconditionally love you. He's saying, no, I just denied you. How can I say I unconditionally loved you, right? I mean, if you think about it, he's just being human.
Can I give another example?
Yeah.
And this is just, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but we saw the difference between the two this morning. As we were worshiping, he was agape loving us, and we were trying to agape love him back, right?
Trying.
But then when we broke out and we went around and started loving one another, that was phileo love.
That's more of a phileo love. Yep, that's very well said.
So we saw the very two things we're talking about, we saw this morning. That was the example right there. And so think about, and I think a couple of you even said it to me, what an intimate time of worship. The thing that's missing is the intimacy between phileo and agape.
Right. That's good. Yeah, I will add this. G25, that's the agape. It says here, compared to phileo, it's wider, embracing especially the judgment and deliberate assent of the will. In other words, agape is a will. It's a choice. It's agape is demonstrated a lot in marriages because, you know, sometimes you go through tough times. And you just choose to love your mate. That's agape love. Yeah, they hurt you and you say, nope, I choose to love you. And that's agape. It's a will. It's an act of the will. It's an extending a charity to the individual. Also, agape can be just being charitable, giving to people who are in need. That's another form of agape. Okay. According to the Bible, love is?
Patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.
Or as some translations say, love never fails.
1 Corinthians 13:4-8a.
You want a definition of love? You got it right there. And this is again Paul. This is the first letter of the Corinthians, and he's outlaying to them the idea of what true Christianity is, what true life in God is. It's not how, you know, amazing you prophesy, because he says if you don't have love, it's nothing. It's not how great you can speak in tongues like men and of angels. You don't have love, it's not anything. It's not if you even give your body over to be burned, you become a martyr. If it wasn't out of love, it's nothing. Or you give everything you own to the poor. If it's not motivated by love, it's nothing. So that's why I said love is a key. It is the key to everything. All right, here's another scriptures.
Romans 13:8-10. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
So love is the fulfilling of the law. Why? Because if you love someone, as verse 9 said, I didn't put all that in, but, you know, if you're not going to want to, you know, covet their wife. You're not going to want to steal from them. You're not going to want to kill them. You're not going to want to hurt them. You're going to treat them with honor and respect if you love them. That's why if we live as love beings, because that's what God is love, So he's being, he's existing love. So if we start living as existing and being love, you know what? People will see Jesus. Mm-hmm. They'll see God. That is how you reach the world, I'm telling you right now. It's not with fancy messages, although we do have an opportunity to preach. We have an opportunity to share the gospel. But we can also display the gospel through living as God does. Yeah. And that's love. Mm-hmm. All right. And I think one is missing again.
No.
I don't see it. Yeah, you have Matthew. Okay, we have John here. Sorry.
I don't have Matthew.
Oh, you don't have Matthew either?
No.
Okay, yeah, you do. She does. This is John, 1 John 4, 7, and 8.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
So notice, God is love. Now, I like to twist things around. If God is love, then love is God, right? So I think we know that God is light, right? There's no darkness in him at all. We know there's other attributes of God. You know, he's omniscient and everything. But the core of God's being is love. That's why all of us can be great lovers. I mean great being in love and loving others. We can do that. You know why? Because God's in us. Just like you said, we have all the love of God in us. People say, I can't love, you know, like God does. Yes, you can. You can. Then how do I do it? Well, what you have to start doing is, first of all, receiving that love that's in you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's why I've gotten so crazy with this understanding, because for over like 2 years, I went around and said, Jesus loves me. I would sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I had been a pastor for a long time. I'd been saved for a long time. But I started saying, Jesus loves me. Lord, you love me. You just love me. I know you do. I can't understand why, but I know you do. And I confessed it until, guess what? It got in me. But you know, as I did that, I saw others through another
lens.
That's a perfect word, a lens. I saw others who were in the worst depravity because of choices they had made. Mm-hmm. And before, you know, I would have said like, oh, they just messed up. You know, I saw them and I said, you know what? That's not who they are. Mm-hmm. That's not who they are. I saw them as God saw me. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. I was able to see them as God saw me. I was able to finally see people the way that God sees people, because I let God see me that way. I let that truth that God loves me come into me. Mm-hmm. So when I say God is love, I'm telling you, he is love. Mm-hmm. And if we let his love come in us, we will be love. We will be a force of love to reckon with. In other words, we may not be, you know, like an MMA fighter love. You know, we may be like guerrilla warfare love, where people don't even see you coming. Because the love is supernatural. Do you see what I'm saying? We're not going to be in your face love. It will be stealth. It will be the Holy Spirit working in orchestra with us. Mm-hmm. And they will know the love of God. Mm-hmm. Gay has another one here. I don't have it, so.
2 John 1:6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it.
So this is love. What is it saying? So love is being obedient to what we've been taught. Love is walking in the truth that we've been taught. That's our response to God in love. I truly believe it. When we show the world that we're loved, I believe we live differently. I believe that we're not caught up in vices and sins and entrapments of the world, because we know we're loved, and we can walk out that love, and that love shows through obedience.
What we see in black and white is what we do when we walk it out.
Exactly. And then Matthew 22:33-40. I did this because this is like the ultimate. I don't think we have. Yeah, we don't have. Go ahead.
22:34-40. This is in the
ESV. It's ESV. All ESV, okay. English Standard Version.
35. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
So what are we saying here? We're saying that there are all kinds of things that we can say that we need to do to be good Christians. Or there's all kinds of things that the Jews at that time had to do to fulfill basically an entire like book full of regulations that they had to follow.
740.
Yeah, that they had to follow to the T to be in right standing with God from their belief system. But this lawyer asked Jesus, okay, Jesus, let's see what you're up to here. What's the greatest commandment out of all the commandments? I mean, which one should we really focus on? And Jesus tells him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is just like it, love your neighbors yourself. And if you do this, guess what? You're covering everything. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when you love, you can't fail. If you love, you're not going to hurt somebody. You may accidentally do it, but you're not going to do it out of malice. You're not going to do it because you want to wound them. Love never fails. So what is love? Love is God. And we have that love in our hearts. And if we will receive this love that's been given to us, that we were singing about today and that we've sang about many times, you know, how he loves us. Remember that song? Oh, how he loves us. I mean, how crazy that love is, how reckless that love is. And we always think about it like God's able to do this. But we don't think about it like we can have reckless love. We can have a love that makes no sense. And it's not because we're fantastic or we're perfect or we've got this thing all figured out. No, we can have this reckless love because we have been recklessly loved. We have been recklessly loved by God, so we can recklessly love others.
I love that.
Yes. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, really, I think the gospel hinges on love. I thought last week we thought the gospel hinges on grace. Goes together. Without the love of God, he wouldn't have extended his grace. You have anything? I've been talking.
Well, I'm just reminded of the time that we had a homeless man come up out here, and a neighbor came from down the street. He was Christian, and this guy was in a very ill-fitted shirt and a pair of pajama pants and no shoes and no socks. And he had to be strung out on something. I don't know what it was. But you had gone in, I think, got water for
him.
Yeah,
I think so.
And
something to eat, I think.
Something for him to have to eat because he hadn't eaten in a really long time. And Mike and the neighbor kept trying to get, you know, name, you know, where do you belong? You know, can we call somebody for you? Get him some kind of help. And finally, I think the neighbor guy is the one that called for a ride. I don't know if it was Dial-A-Ride or something like that came.
No, he took them. He took him.
Did actually. He take him?
No, he did call Dial-A-Ride. We paid for Dial-A-Ride. That's right.
We paid for him to go to the Union Gospel Mission. But we're like, you know, what do you need? What can we help you with? What do you need? And he said to me, can I have a hug? Now, this is right in the time of
COVID. This was during COVID, right.
Flaring. And I have no idea what may have been on him. But I said, yes, let me give you a hug. And he stood up, and I mean, he, like a child to a mother, he pulled me in, and I hugged him. And he said, I haven't felt arms around me in a long time. And I had to put aside fear. It was human fear of catching something or, you know, something jumping on me or him attacking me. But I knew that God needed him to get a hug. I knew that deep inside myself. I knew that. And so I just pulled him in and just gave him a big hug. And then he got into the van and off he went. And the Lord spoke to me afterwards, and he's like, that's the kind of love I'm talking about. It's not the people that are easy to love. It's not the ones that are clean and you want to hug them because, you know, they're your Christian brother or sister or your family or whatever. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. And that's where you have to break down all of your barriers, all of your preconceived ideas, all of your thoughts on what love really is, and just love the homeless and the in the gutter. I mean, he was sitting in the gutter. And so it's a reminder to me. I wish I would remember it more often. I don't. But I wish I did, because it breaks everything down, pulls everything in, brings it to glaring truth that's God's love right there. Mm. You know, shown out in, without words, just a hug, just a hug. Now, I'm not telling you to go to the homeless and love on, hug on them. If God tells you to, do that. But I'm just saying that's what God had me do.
Hold on. Amen.
Phyllis, did you have something?
My husband and I both gave our hearts to the Lord. And the first thing was, we loved him. We've had our ups and downs, but we still love. Yes. And my husband is the most giving person you ever met. And it's because of God's love.
Yes.
And he trusts that.
Yes.
And you have to trust it.
Yes.
To know that God really loves you.
Yeah.
But you can give back so easy if you do.
Amen. Amen.
And it'll be 60 years this month that we've been together.
Praise the Lord.
Woo-hoo. And it's just, yeah.
What a testimony.
I was thinking about what you said. The difference between love and the law is that the law was meant to destroy.
Mm.
And love does not destroy.
That's right.
When you love somebody, you are not going to want to destroy them. But the law meant it broke you down and it destroyed you. It destroyed your confidence in who you are. It destroyed your confidence in who God is to you. So just remember that when you love someone and when someone loves you, they do not want to destroy you. God does not want to destroy us. He wants to lift us up and encourage us.
Amen.
Amen. So anyone else want to share anything? Is that okay? I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, you first loved us, Lord, when we were unlovely, when we were in the gutter, when we were in filthy rags, very much like that man Gabe was discussing. We were not attractive at all, but you reached down, Lord. You reached down with your arms of love, and you embraced us, and you drew us to yourself, Lord, and you've healed our hearts. You're healing our hearts still to this day. You're helping us, Lord, to realize, Lord, what you have for us and who we are in you. That's all because of your love. So, Lord, as your people, I just ask right now that we would realize that all of your love lives in us, that we are loved beings, and we can be beings of love because of that. Lord, that we are fully
love, no matter what we have done, what we have been, what has been done to us, doesn't matter. You love us, Lord, and that's what matters. So right now, by faith, I just pray over this group and the ones listening to my voice in the future, Lord, that they would receive the truth that they are loved. They would receive the truth that they can be loved because they are loved. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you showed on the cross. You demonstrated your love to us, God, by your Son dying for us. Your Son demonstrated how much he loves us by being the one who took our sins, took our guilt, took our shame, took our diseases, took everything that we deserved in punishment to show us and demonstrate the love of God to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me.
Bless you, honey.
Bye-bye.
No wall you will kick down, lie you will tear down, coming after me. No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Love of God, you know it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away.
Of your love,
expressions of love to our families, to our friends, to our city. Yeah. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much, so passionately, with intention, Lord. It's not an accident. It's not just because, Lord, but it's there's not even words to explain why. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your love. Let's pray that as we leave this place and go about the rest of our day, about the rest of our week, that our love, Lord, not the love that we receive from you, God, would be so infectious wherever we go. Every home represented here would just be full of love, overflowing flood of love through every home in this place. We thank you so much, Jesus, for what you're doing here, what you're doing in the lives of your people. And we just bless it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Love you guys. Have a good week.